This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Monday. Welcome in. Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy in for Mark Willard alongside Dan Dibley as always. Dibs, hope you had a good weekend. How you doing?
Yeah, Grandy, I'm doing great. How are you, my brother?
I am on cloud nine. It was one of the best weekends I've had in a long time. I'm coming off of consecutive incredible weekends. 2 weekends ago, wedding down in New Orleans. That was a lot of fun. This weekend, if you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, you see what I'm wearing. My Ducks got the biggest win of the weekend, Dibs. And Niners playing Thursday. It kind of frees up the rest of the Sunday to watch everything else going on in the NFL. A nice weekend, full of football, full of wins. I'm feeling great.
That's so great. And I had kind of a Saturday for the ages as a parent of a young kid where you go early to the pumpkin patch and you get back and it's nap time and you start watching college football.
Yeah.
And I tuned into that Oregon State or that Oregon Ohio State game and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to try to find a way to watch this and be able to needle Grandy for Oregon not being quite good enough at Ohio State.
They tried to lose. They tried their best.
Everyone is saying that Ohio State, they're going to win it. Like, forget the whole thing about the 8-team tournament. Ohio State's going to win the Natty, and then Oregon keeps hanging around, and you guys win the game, and I'm thinking, this is no good for me, needling Grandy. I got to come up with a different playbook for Monday.
Can't get under my skin that easily.
No, not after
anymore.
That. And then yesterday, the NFL slate goes almost perfectly according to plan. And I hate, and I don't root for injury, but Detroit, my God, they look so good. And then they lose Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And Dallas, go ahead and bye-bye. Fire your coach now.
You're writing them off? All
Philadelphia,
over?
You're done too. Both those teams, like, who's going to lose their coach first, Philly or Dallas?
Philly's on fire despite the fact that the Eagles won yesterday.
Right, because their coach is an idiot. Their coach is out there like shouting down fans and acting like a fool. And meanwhile, Dallas and McCarthy, I'd be surprised if he lasted the rest of this month because that thing is broken.
Yeah, it does not look good. And we'll hear from Jerry Jones a little bit later, but he, of course, said, I haven't even thought about changing coaches up to this point. Maybe he's thinking now, even if he was telling the truth, but that's got to be something that the Cowboys do consider at some point. And then you're right, the Eagles are a mess, despite the fact that they won. I mean, they barely beat the Browns. That should qualify as a loss. The Browns might be the most gutless team in the NFL at this point. And it's all leading into Chiefs Week, Dibs, as we were just talking about with Steiny and Guru on the crossover. Super Bowl rematch is now 6 days away. Niners and Chiefs here at Levi's. It'll be the fourth time that Niners have played the Chiefs going back to that Super Bowl to close out the 2019 season. Of course, they played in the regular season 2 years ago, just before Brock Purdy took over when Jimmy Garoppolo went down. That was Christian McCaffrey's first game as a 49er. The Niners have lost all three of those games, including, of course, both in the Super Bowl. But Dibs, this is an opportunity to finally get that monkey off your back, and I know you get a win on Sunday against the Chiefs doesn't mean that you're now a Super Bowl champion or your one win in the regular season somehow masks the two losses in the Super Bowl, but this is a big deal. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, undefeated, the only team that has stood in your way recently from winning at least one Super Bowl, if not multiple, and you have a chance on your home field to finally get that monkey off your back, to get over 500. This is a gigantic week. Chiefs off a bye, Niners off a mini bye. You got a lot of time to prep and prepare and rest and plan for this game, much like you did in the Super Bowl when you have 2 full weeks between games. This is good. This is an awesome week, and it's a huge game coming up for the 49ers.
It's huge, but I don't want to characterize it as monkey off the back. It's more like a sea monkey off your back, which is a brine shrimp. It's a tiny little sea monkey. It's not the real monkey off your back, and you don't get to get the monkey off your back until you get another Lombardi. And I know you, if you beat Kansas City, that's good, and it's big.
So even if you beat Buffalo in the Super Bowl, that's the monkey off the back?
Correct.
Still?
If you beat whoever in the Super Bowl, that's the monkey off your back. But to win a regular season game at home where you're favored, that's a nice win. It's not a monkey off your back. Even though it's the team that's beaten you now 4 times in a row, Shanahan's never beaten them. They've beaten you in 2 straight Super Bowls. This is not the full-on Steve Young monkey off the back. This would be, if you win, a good win, and you go to 4-3, and you give them their first loss of the year, and you get a little bit of momentum going into Dallas, and we already mentioned that Dallas feels like a broken team, and if you beat Dallas, now you're 5-3 going into the bye, and now you feel again like a real Super Bowl contending team. This is not, for me, monkey off the back territory, but this would be something you've never done in the Shanahan era. You've never beaten Andy and Patrick, and you know Casey's coming off a bye, and you're coming off a mini bye, and it's the biggest game on Sunday. So, yeah, I'm not going to say it's not a big game. It's a huge game, maybe the biggest game of the year, but it's not, in my opinion, a monkey off the back game.
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some kind of emotional response tied up to this, and I get maybe it's different for fans versus the team themselves. I mean, for the team itself, it's another game. You're coming off of the mini bye, of course. You feel a little bit better physically as you go into this game, but you look across on the other side. You tell Fred Warner just another game, he's not going to feel that way, Dibs. Fred Warner is more fired up for this game, and that's saying something because he's always fired up and ready to play. But Fred Warner, having seen his running mate go down with an Achilles injury the last time these two teams played in February, having suffered maybe the two most, disappointing losses of his career to this very same team, knowing full well not everything is on the line like it was in those two last matchups, but this has got to mean a little something more to Fred Warner. This game against the Kansas City Chiefs means more than Week 5 against the Arizona Cardinals. This means a lot, and it's only heightened because you are 3-3, and a loss, you're right back below 500. Probably won't be leading the division anymore.
And that's a good point. And, you know, you look at the NFL, and right now there are 2 undefeated teams, one of whom you've already played and they beat you. Yep. And the other one is a team that you haven't beaten in 10 years. And last time you beat them, none of these players were on the Niners, and the coach wasn't the coach, and the GM wasn't the GM.
When was the last time the Niners beat the Chiefs?
It was 2014. The last time they won, it was back in October 5th of 2014. Niners 22 and Kansas City 17. That was a game that was in San Francisco. Travis Kelce, actually, with a touchdown catch from Alex Smith.
Yeah, Alex Smith. So they also played 2018. That was the game when Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL running towards the sideline.
Yep.
Yeah.
38-27.
That
and
was
then
in
you've
Kansas
got a couple of games in February we won't talk about.
Yeah.
And then a game in October 23rd, which was 44-23. And that was, I think, that Christian McCaffrey's first game, right? Where he
Correct.
Played.
He was acquired that week. He didn't start, played like a small amount of snaps.
Right. So you've got four straight for Kansas City. And yeah, this one is big. And, you know, you got six more days to get hyped up for it. And the Niners are going to be coming off of their mini bye. And we'll get more injury updates as we get closer to it. I know Ricky Pearsall is going to be out there today practicing. I don't expect that he'll be able to go, but Jordan Mason, Matthew Wright, the kicker. We've got other questions about injuries, and hopefully by the end of the show today, we'll have more information on those people.
I think today is a player's day off for the 49ers, and then they get back out to the practice field tomorrow.
I know that Ricky Pearsall is going to be out there today, so maybe it's a limited day.
Oh, you're right. They are.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is a player's day off. Yeah,
right.
my fault. Yeah, so they are out there. Yeah, practice is going on right now, and then the locker room will open in a little bit, and we'll probably get some sound coming in from that. So we have that to look forward to. But yeah, Ricky Pearsall opening his practice window, which means you have 3 weeks to activate him and play him. I know your prediction is probably going to be true. He's not going to play till after the bye. So don't expect him this week, certainly not this week. Probably don't expect him next week against the Cowboys. Then you activate him during the bye week, get him ready for what would that be, week 7, 8,
week 10.
Get ready for week 10.
Week 10.
Yeah.
And you have 3 weeks to do it, so if you open it today, you've got a game on November 10th, which would be 3 weeks, actually, from, I think, now. Actually, you'd activate him before that game.
Yeah.
You'd activate him during the bye week, and you know, you'd kind of have to do that to allow him to return once you open his practice window, which is open now. So no KC, probably no Dallas, and then the bye, and then he comes back at Tampa, but for now, you get into this day, this Monday, and we could look back at yesterday a little bit more in detail, but the way you sit now, 3-3, it has not been seamless. It's been a little bit up and down, but
a lot of
here you go. Kansas City comes to town, and you aren't fully healthy. Neither are they. And the point spread says it's a toss-up game. You're a one-point favorite. It's going to be a marquee spot at 125, and you got to be fired up if you're a Niner fan.
You got to be fired up. And what Steiny and Goo told us, that they only got a couple of calls saying that, you know, we're out for blood, we hate Kansas City. I mean, that was almost offensive to me. This is the only team, the only reason why I haven't seen a Super, one of the only reasons why I haven't seen a Super Bowl championship for the 49ers in my lifetime. It's these freaking Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And you have to have respect for him. Mahomes is obviously incredible, although quietly, hasn't been very good this year. We could talk about that later as well. But you got to be fired up for this game. So Niner fans, shoot us a call. Give us a text, 888-957-9570. How fired up are you for this game? I know Dibs, you feel like, for some of the players, maybe it doesn't mean quite as much as for the fans. But there's no doubt in my mind this is going to be a raucous environment at Levi's Stadium. And ever since the schedule came out, ever since you found out that you were going to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs, you'd had this game circled. You were hoping maybe you were 5-1, at the worst 4-2 going into this game. Maybe if things broke right, you were 6-0. So we weren't quite expecting 3-3. But to me, Dibs, all that does is reinforce how important this game is. And if the 49ers come out, and at the very least, you don't see that fire, you don't see that intensity like we saw in the first half in Seattle, by the way, the defense, maybe the most we've seen them ever swarm in a game so far this year. If you don't see that kind of energy and effort and enthusiasm, I don't know what's going to get this team up. Because if a week 7 game, when you're 3-3 against the team that just beat you in the Super Bowl, doesn't get you ready for a game, then I'm not sure what will.
Right, and it's not going to be that hot. So for fans,
you're not going to be 100.
No, exactly. Yeah. So from a fan standpoint, I give you a pass in the last home game against Arizona because it was so hot tough to really be a fan in the sunny side and when it's 100 degrees. This will not be that. It's probably going to be in the high 70s, maybe low 80s. It's going to be a beautiful day out there, and it's Kansas City. And the Chiefs' offense is not what we are used to seeing, and it wasn't the same offense even from the first Super Bowl. It's more closely resembling the offense you saw last year in the Super Bowl, and that offense you controlled until overtime when you didn't control them. And, you know, the defense had lost Dre Greenlaw by then, and they were a little bit fatigued when they had to go back out there for overtime. No excuses, but this offense that you're going to face is somewhat containable, and you don't have Isaiah Pacheco, you don't have Rashi Rice. You should be able to, as a defense getting better, getting more comfortable with Nick Sorensen, you should be able to at least hold your own water. And then on the other side, the offense, even with all of the other pieces you've had come in, the offense has still been very productive with Garendo and with Ayuk and with Debo and, you know, all the rest of the pieces that you've had filling in for some of the other starters.
Yeah, despite some of the offensive issues and specifically it's the red zone, I mean, the offense is still putting up points. 36 in Seattle, and we can point to a number of areas where they got to be better, but you're still putting up points. This is going to come down, I think, to the Niners defense against Patrick Mahomes and the offense. We can dive more into the X's and O's as the week goes along. Mark Willard will be back tomorrow. It's Mark Randy alongside Dan Dibley today here on Willard and Dibs. And let's go out to the phones here. Let's sneak in a call before we hit our first break. Up first is Victor, who's in Albany. Victor, I know you want to talk about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. What do you got, Victor? You're on Willard and Dibs.
You have to realize that you're playing against Patrick Mahomes and the referees. There's been no holding calls in two Super Bowls. And there's very timely pass interference calls, and you replay it over and over, and your blind grandma can see that it's pass interference. So I'm not a Patrick Mahomes fan, just like I'm not a Braves fan, but the refs are definitely helping the guy out.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Victor. And that's right, Dibs.
Yeah, it's brutal.
The refs are tough. In the Chiefs' pocket.
So it's 19 on 11 every
yeah.
snap.
Mm-hmm.
You got the 8 refs and you've got the 11 Chiefs. And God forbid we go to New York, because as we saw this last weekend or last Thursday, that doesn't go your way either.
Yeah.
So
the NFL's out to get the Niners,
yeah,
Dibs. There's no doubt
what?
About it.
I'm going to petition the Niners to just not even play the game at all, because, you know, the refs are going to be against them. So why even bother showing up? I mean, come on, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Yes, there have been a couple of high-profile holding calls that Niner fans want that were not called. Does that mean that automatically now that the NFL is pro-Chiefs and anti-Niners?
They're pro-Taylor Swift is what they
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You sound like Guru now. You know, it's the goo material coming out. Yeah, and ultimately, you have to be, and this is never a comfortable thing to hear, but you have to be better than bad calls, and the Niners were on Thursday. There was a really, really bad call.
Yeah.
That was a game-ending call that should have gone their way and didn't, and it was 99.9 or 100% clear-cut. That is a call that you should have gotten, and Kyle Shanahan actually got a call from the league office saying, yeah, we blew that one, and even though they blew it, there's nothing that they could do about it, and yet the Niners overcame it. So you need to be better than Kansas City enough to where you are free from a bad call costing you a win.
Yeah, you certainly hope so. We'll see how it all plays out coming up on Sunday. Niners and Chiefs, 125. We're 6 days away. It's Chiefs week, and we're getting fired up. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. We are brought to you by Robert Half. More Willard and Dibs with Grandy in for Willard next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Lib on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, no Mark Willard today. He'll be back tomorrow here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy in for Mark Willard with Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. And it is Chiefs week as we gear up for a Super Bowl rematch. 49ers and the Chiefs coming up on Sunday from Levi's Stadium, 125 kick. We'll be getting you ready for that all week long here on 95.7 The Game. And you can follow along on both Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957TheGame and youtube.com/957TheGame to watch us live. And if anyone swears, maybe Dibs, you'll get to hear it on Twitch and
odds
YouTube.
Are.
While you're there, make sure to subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on both Twitch and YouTube, and make sure to hit the thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. Everything we do on Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dibs, I'm a little disappointed. I thought you'd be a little more fired up for Niners and Chiefs, the chance to get a little bit of revenge on the team that's knocked you out in the Super Bowl a couple of times.
Very fired up, but the idea of hate, I reserve my sports hate for certain things, certain people, certain teams and organizations, and I just don't know if the Chiefs for me, register on that level of sports hate. Yes, there's been major sports disappointment, but even in that loss, when you think about the loss, I'm more apt to hate the Niners than I am to hate the Chiefs for winning the game. Like,
oh,
like LeBron James, if you want to talk about sports hate, I'm more willing to sports hate him for being a flopper, for, you know, teabagging Draymond Green and goading him into a groin punch, and just for his general villain role. I think he plays the villain. He likes to play the villain. And even that, though, the Warriors got over on him more than he got over on the Warriors. So even LeBron doesn't quite register on the sports hate. Like, James Harden, yes. The beard, flopper.
You sports hate James Harden, is that what you're saying?
I did at the time, and now I kind of sports pity James Harden. I don't really pity him because he's a multi-millionaire, and he's doing just fine. But for me, sports hate is saved for certain teams and certain situations. Like, there's a baseball team that's still playing right now, and I am a Mets fan, and I wish Ken were here and I could borrow some of his Mets gear because I sports hate the Dodgers. Absolutely. And when it comes to the Chiefs, like Patrick Mahomes, I don't look at him and sports hate him. He's a really good quarterback, and he's made really big plays that have come at the expense of my team, and that sucks, but I'm more dwelling on what the Niners didn't do as opposed to sports hating him. So it doesn't mean I'm not fired up for this game. It's a massive regular season game, but it is a regular season game in October. So I don't want to, like, lose my mind over, you know, must win or...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Or monkey off the back or all the rest of it. It would be great to beat Kansas City. For me, it's more of a litmus test. And If you beat Kansas City and they're off a bye and you're off a mini bye and they're coming here and you're injured and so are they and you beat Kansas City, that for me would be a big step forward into whether or not you're really a legitimate team.
Yeah.
So I'm fired up, but I'm not, I guess I'm just not in the, like, the hate mode. I don't know. Like, on Kansas City, you can hate Travis Kelce for being, what, really good and having a really popular girlfriend and being a Hall of Famer. And you can hate Andy Reid for being really smart and being heavy set with a nice mustache. And you can hate Patrick Mahomes for underhand and sidearm throws. I just don't, I don't have that level of hate when it comes to Kansas City.
There's respect that I have for that team and everything they've accomplished. They're obviously an incredible football team, but as a fan of the 49ers and as a person not yet 30 who hasn't experienced the 49ers to win a Super Bowl, yeah, I hate them.
I
hate the hell out of them.
Yep.
The only thing that is keeping me from being able to celebrate a championship with my team, my childhood team. I mean, the Ravens, if the Niners were to meet them in the Super Bowl again and they were to lose there again, I'd hate the Ravens. I mean, a couple of Super Bowl losses to anybody. I know that's kind of spanning a couple of different eras. John Harbaugh's still there for the Ravens, and he was the coach, of course, when they beat the Niners when Jim Harbaugh was here. But
how old were you when that happened? That was
2012 season or 2011 season? I was either 15 or 16.
Okay.
So I was
old
in high
enough
school.
To like really yeah. be like feeling it and locked in and like that was yeah. that one probably hurt the most.
I remember crying on the living room floor after that game.
Shout out Windsor.
Yeah.
Tears in the 707.
Shout out the 707. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a country song. I cried in the 707. Tears
that was
in
a bad
the 707.
Night.
Yeah.
That was a bad night.
Yeah. And I was in New Orleans for that Super Bowl. I didn't go to the actual game, but we were there for the run up and we had an unbelievable week, and it felt like they were going to win that game. And then the game started, and it was like, oh my God, they might lose 80-0.
And then it felt like they might win that game.
Exactly.
And then they lost.
Right. So I don't know of the three, which one is more heartbreaking. If this last one was the most heartbreaking of the three, like all three of them, and I'm not trying to get you to like channel your heartbreak.
Picking between the three Super Bowl losses,
which
like,
one is
like
more heartbreaking?
The opposite of a parent picking between their three children to figure out which one's their which one's their favorite. Like
right.
you can't do it. You hate them all.
Which one do you hate more
with your
which
kids?
One
you
do
love
hate
them
the
all.
Most. Right?
You love them all, obviously, but.
It's funny
no,
you
I
say
could
that because
I
have three kids and there's a definite pecking order, but I can't say it on the air.
You can tell me off the air.
I will.
Yeah.
And shout out, the 2-year-old might be the leader in the clubhouse. She's also last of the three at the same time. But of the three, like, and as I'm thinking about it, like all three of those Super Bowls were almost equally heartbreaking because the Baltimore one, that game was over and then it wasn't. And then you had a chance and you lost. And then the first KC game, you had the lead, and then Tyreek Hill, and then you had a chance, and then you didn't, and then they ended up blowing you out somehow.
Yeah.
And then this last one was overtime, and you know, one play in overtime, if you get a block and you get a touchdown, and then maybe we have double overtime, and you know, I don't know. They're equally heartbreaking, but looking at this game on Sunday, it's a big game, and I'm so excited for it, but it's not as big as any of those three games, for sure.
No doubt.
And
yeah.
I know you're
and,
not saying
no
that.
No one's saying that. But and if the Niners were 6-0, 5-1, it wouldn't mean as much. But you also have a Niner team that is fighting to make sure that they can even make the postseason. I think we feel confident about that. But this is also, as you talked about, a litmus test. If the Niners come out and beat the Chiefs on Sunday, Dibs, we're going to be talking a week from now on these very airwaves here on 95.7 The Game. Well, it was a slow start. But there's no one in this NFC, maybe not in the league, that can stop the 49ers. When they get going and when they play their best football, they're still the best team in the NFL. And to this point, we haven't really felt that so far this season. But if they turn around and beat the Chiefs, I don't care that it's a Week 7 game in October. You beat the Chiefs, one of the last two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, you beat them? Super Bowl or bust, baby!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is this a Super Bowl preview? Would be the question. Like, who's more likely to make the Super Bowl of these two teams coming here into Santa Clara on Sunday?
Oof.
Now, the Chiefs are 5-0, but they have a much tougher conference, and the Niners are...
The Ravens look damn near unstoppable right now.
Right, and, you know, the AFC, I think, and, you know, Buffalo is still a real team, and they play tonight, and they have a chance to get the
four... coming up tonight.
Yeah, 4-2, and I'll give you my pick a little bit later, and my pick might surprise some people, but the, you know, you got... Baltimore at 4-2, the Texans upstart at 5-1. The AFC feels like much more of a gauntlet, and the Niners, even if they lose this game and they're 3-4, they're still very much in the thick of it in the NFC. And this is where, you know, you and I were talking on the show thread with Lucas, director of sports, about the weekend, and you had the Commanders who lost, and the Eagles won, but they're broken. Dallas got absolutely motorboated, and they feel like they're done. Detroit won, but they lost their best player. And Green Bay won. And, you know, somebody's going to have to fall down in that division. And Atlanta won, but I don't think that people think that they're real. Tampa Bay looks like wildly successful, but I don't know if anyone's buying into that. And then the NFC West is, you know, 10 wins is going to win that division.
Yeah.
Like,
no doubt.
if you go 10-7, you're going to win that division. No problem.
Seems like it.
So even if the Niners fall to 3-4, it still feels like that division is very much still theirs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I get it. I just can't get past the emotional aspect of this and the team that beat you in the Super Bowl the last couple of times. 888-957-9570. Niner fans, how you feeling heading into this one? How you feeling going into Chiefs week? Are you excited? Are you confident? Are you cautiously optimistic? Are you a little worried? Have you written them off thinking, well, we've already lost to them 3 straight times in the last 4 years. We're going to lose to them again. How are you feeling about this one? Because for me, I'm coming into this already 6 days away, and I can't wait. I wish the game was tomorrow. I wish the game was coming up in a couple of hours. I wish they were playing Monday Night Football here coming up tonight. And I'm optimistic, but that's just how I am as a 49er fan. But I'm just so eager to see what this team looks like against one of the best teams in the NFL. Because the other part of this, Dibs, and give us a call, let us know how you feel, 888-957-9570. That's also the Comcast Business text line. The other part of this, Dibs, is this is an opportunity where you can finally see the 49ers against the elite of the elite. Because I feel like part of what has hurt the 49ers this year, and they would never admit to it, but road game against the Rams, without Puka Nacua, without Cooper Kupp, without like 3/5 of their offensive line. The Cardinals, at home, you feel like you should be able to handle them. The Niners haven't really gone into a matchup where you've got one really great team versus all the talent on the 49ers, and maybe there's been a little bit of the Niners playing down to their opponent's level a little bit, and maybe not entirely locking into a game. You don't have that excuse this time, and now we will finally see the 49ers, potentially, from start to finish, not making excuses for them. It's bad if this is something that has plagued them before, but you finally see them maybe give their best shot, best effort, for a full 60 minutes of a football game.
Yeah, and you've seen them play great for 50 minutes, and you've seen them play great for 57 minutes, and this is a very good opponent. And the last time you played a very good opponent, which was Minnesota, you weren't good enough, and that was on the road. And yeah, it was a tough loss. And so this is a game where you've got Kansas City with injured players, you have injured players, and you look at the matchup, and it should be a pretty even slate, yet you do have some wounds from the past, and I know a lot of these players have been through one, if not both, of those Super Bowl disappointments, and Trent Williams has already come out and said, yeah, it's just another game, and I know he's trying to downplay it, which is fine.
You want to hear him?
I do want to hear him, yeah. I love Trent.
Here's Trent post-game on Thursday.
It's a game. It's another game. I mean, it's not like we can get payback for losing in the Super Bowl. That ship has sailed. So it's another game. We got to come out and try to play complimentary football. Obviously, we know what type of team that is, one of the best teams in the league, all-star quarterback, you know, great coach. So it's going to be a tough game regardless. So, you know, we're going to take these 3 days off and regroup and come try to put a complete game together.
Yeah, he's right.
Just another game?
It is just another game. And it's just, what, week 7 in the NFL? And if they lose, then you're 3-4. And if you win, you're 4-3. Nothing will be resolved with a win or a loss or a tie, if that could possibly happen. So far, no ties in the NFL. But it is bigger, I think, for the fans than it is for the team. And that's okay. And I want to hear from the fans, 888-957-9570. What are you feeling? Is it nerves? Is it excitement? Is it nervitement? Is it excitement, nerves? What is it that you're feeling going into this game? Because, you know, you were mentioning it, the anger and the sports hatred over what you've been through, and that's real. And I wonder if the Niners win, how much of that actually goes away. Like, yeah, we finally beat Kansas City. Well, yeah, you did. But at the same time, it's not February, so it's a nice thing. Winning any game is nice, but I wonder how much of that sports hatred or that sports angst would actually go away.
Yeah, let us know. 888-957-9570. How you feeling going into Chiefs week as a 49er fan, and what does this game mean to you? Is it just another game, as Trent Williams is saying? I got a feeling Trent wants this one and wants it badly. Not wants it as much as he wanted that Super Bowl last February, but I got a feeling this means a little bit more to him than he's letting on. But let's find out what you all think. 888-957-9570. Up next is Charlie in Walnut Creek. Charlie, what's up? You're on Willard and Nibs. What does this game mean to you, Charlie?
To me, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it's regular season. It's early. I'm more concerned with, you know, the three phases, you know, good, bad, and ugly. Offense, defense, special teams. Even against Seattle, we gave up 9 of 19, third and fourth down, 358 yards. If not for the picks, where are we? We lose that game. We need to play better defense, whether it's scheme or bring the linebackers up or whatever.
Yeah.
It needs to be a different play.
I mean, there's no doubt, Charlie. I think you make a good point. Like, we can pretend all we want, and we can do the hypothetical game and play what ifs. If they beat the Chiefs, then this means that they're going to be a legitimate Super Bowl threat once again, and we can kind of readjust our expectations for this team back to what we thought preseason, when we thought they were going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. We kind of had to readjust once they fell to 2-3, and now maybe if they beat the Chiefs, we readjust again. The bottom line, though, Dibs, is if they play like they have through 6 weeks, for the rest of the season, they're not going to be doing much because they have left a ton of points out there. They have given their opponents almost every break in the book possible through 6 weeks. Just running through the special teams blunders through 6 weeks, Dibs, it is bad,
yep.
Terrible,
yep.
Amazing, like incredible, all the mistakes that they've made. You have to all clean that up, of course. But maybe the reality of the NFL, at least for a veteran team like the 49ers, is it takes you a little bit to get going without much of a preseason anymore. I think that's the running theory, but until we see them go out and play better consistently, you hope it begins 6 days from now against the Chiefs. Until we see that, there is still going to be some concern that maybe they just don't have that in them anymore.
Right, and I do like that call about the three phases, because if you want to look at the Seattle game, I think for the first time, the three phases were all pretty good, like offense, defense, great, special teams, better, and you did a great job with Grandy's grades last Friday to really detail that, and I think you and I had a little bit of a difference of opinion on special teams. I thought it was slightly better than you did, and yet you gave up a 97-yard LaVisca Chenault kickoff return for a touchdown, and your kicker, I don't even know if he's going to be healthy enough to kick this Sunday, but he cannot kick the ball into the end zone. So that becomes a problem. He had one kick that actually made it to the end zone. Maybe they go to Wisnowski, but your punt coverage is better. Wisnowski did have two inside the 10. One got down to the 3, but your punt returning is still a problem. Jacob Cowing needs new cleats, and he falls down a lot.
Oh my God.
They fumble. Garendo fumbles kickoffs. You get punts blocked. You did block a field goal and score, so it's been a little bit of a mixed bag, but I thought that Brock Purdy was great last Thursday. The run game was spectacular. The front seven was really good. And the secondary with the pups, the baby Niners back there, I thought that you were close to having all three phases intact on Thursday.
Yeah, the special teams, obviously the major blunder was the kickoff return. 24 points scored by Seattle. 7 of those were via special teams. I think that point total, it was the tied for the second most points the Niners had allowed so far this season, 24 points against both Arizona and Seattle. You allowed 27 to the Rams in a loss. So not in terms of just pure numbers, not a very good day in terms of not allowing points. But I think those 24 points, not necessarily like fake, but it doesn't really tell the story of how well the defense played, because again, seven of them were via special teams. Another seven of them were when the Seahawks were driving in the fourth quarter late, down two scores, and the Niners were perfectly content giving the Seahawks everything they wanted underneath, and you had a long drive, but it wasn't necessarily a challenging drive for the Seahawks, because the Niners just did not want to get beat over the top for a 40-yard touchdown to kill or to save a lot of time. So kind of both of those touchdowns don't really count against me in terms of the defensive ledger. When you were playing straight up, Dibs, and you had normal game plan out, the Niners' defense was awesome. And this is a Seattle offense who's pretty darn good. They had their injuries, most of them on the defensive side of the ball. That offense is legit. I mean, you got a legit three-headed monster at wide receiver. We could talk all the trash we want about DK Metcalf. I think he's deserving of it. You got a couple of really good running backs as well, and say what you want about Geno coming into the game, leading the NFL in passing yards. Like, that's a legitimate offense, and I thought the Niners' defense was very good in that game. For my money, Dibs, it was the defense's best performance of the year, and when you consider that you were without Mooney Ward on top of everything else, that was eye-opening, and that's a big reason why I have confidence, not necessarily that the Niners will beat the Chiefs, but just going forward, that we will see a now more consistent Niners team that looks a little bit more like they did last year versus the first 6 weeks or 5 weeks of this year.
You hope so, but I do think a lot of that is predicated on the offensive lines that you're facing. The Chiefs' offensive line is a much better unit than what Seattle had. Seattle had a lot of injuries, and so I do think that that led in part to Nick Bosa getting 14 pressures, but they also, I thought, did a good job of moving Nick Bosa around. He rushed on both sides of the offensive line. They mixed it up, and so he was able to get a lot more pressure accordingly. And even though he didn't get any sacks, which is crazy when you think about 14 pressures and no sacks.
God, but he was around Geno all night.
He had his hands on Geno. He had his hands on him so much that he had to actually ask for his parents' permission to be so handsy with Geno Smith. It's okay. I think he gave him a corsage at halftime.
I'll give you a three for that. There
I'll take it.
Don't talk about that.
It's too late, Chickering. I did it. I said it.
I mean, that's got to be the best performance from an edge rusher without a sack, like, ever.
Right.
It's funny, he was amazing.
Guru said something earlier, and I thought he got misconstrued. I thought he said that with the amount of pressures that he had, that he should have had 2.5 sacks. And I think Steiny heard him say he had 2.5 sacks, but I think Guru knew that he didn't have any sacks. But 14 pressures would normally mean you probably have 2.5 sacks.
Yeah.
But he had 0 sacks.
And he talked about that post game, how, you know, he's in the finishing business. He's got to finish those plays.
Yeah.
To be fair to him, one of his pressures was the Malik Mustafa interception on the first drive of the game.
Yep.
It was also good coverage by Renardo Green that kind of forced a high throw for Geno Smith. But also, it was Nick Bosa getting in the face of Geno Smith, forcing that bad pass turn into an interception.
Yep.
He had nearly a strip sack in the second half. It turned into just a scramble and an incomplete. 3rd and 10. Turns into a punt. So what really was the drop off there? Nick Bosa was awesome. And one of the storylines we've already heard at Dibs is the referees refusing to call holds against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Nick Bosa, maybe more important than getting a sack on Sunday against the Chiefs, draw a holding penalty or two, Nick, will you?
Yeah, and maybe he needs to take a page out of James Harden's book or Luka Doncic and start to, you know, embellish it a little bit more, because Nick doesn't usually do that.
Well, that'll make you sports hater. Him though, right?
A little bit, but I mean, honestly, if you get, and this is where Steph Curry, I think, has gotten better at it, where he goes to the hoop and there's contact and he throws his head back a little bit. And in the NBA, they've gone way beyond the pale, but Nick Bosa, he doesn't do that. Even when he gets held after the play, he might do the classic Bosa shrug. But, you know, you see now more in the NFL, when players get held, they start to, like, really embellish it and throw their body back, yeah. Like, oh, I can't do anything. This guy's all over me.
And maybe it's part of the game, and maybe that's an area that Nick's got to improve on. All right, we got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll get more into this. We also got to run around the NFL and some of the things that Dibs has been referring to, Jerry Jones and Nick Sirianni, and the rest of the NFC. It's wide open as it's ever been. Does that give you confidence that the Niners can right the ship, and are they still the favorites in the NFC? Plus, we see you on hold, Gabe and Joe. We're coming to you next when Willard and Dibs continues. It's Mark Randy in for Mark Willard alongside Dibs. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibs next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.